This is the first day of the Feast of Hanukkah. Now, what does that mean to us? We're Christians. Hanukkah is a Jewish feast. Well, Hanukkah celebrates a phenomena that occurred about 175, 165 years before Christ was born in Jerusalem. And it celebrates the time in which, after the the Syrians and the Greeks had overtaken the temple, that a group of Jewish zealots had gotten it back. And they were called the Maccabees, the hammer. And the Maccabee is the Jewish word for hammer. And the Maccabees got the temple back, and in the process of cleansing the temple, well, first of all, the high priest was in hiding at a place called Theophil. And the Maccabees had fought this terrible battle and overcame the Greeks and the Syrians and had taken over the temple and had cleaned it. And they found one cruse of oil, and it was going to take them 8 days to get to the high priest, and he was the only one that could certify that the holy oil was good for use. And so they only had one cruse of oil, enough for one day. And the miracle is that as they cleansed the temple, that the holy oil, the oil for the temple, lasted for the full 8 days it took to get from Jerusalem to the place of the hiding of the high priest and get the more oil that had his seal on it. And so that celebration of this feast where the oil lasted for the full 8 days is the meaning of Hanukkah. And it's called the Feast of Dedication in the New Testament. It's called the Feast of Lights. It's called the Feast of Hanukkah in Hebrew. Now, the Hanukkah lights, today it's celebrated, where they have all kinds of little games and toys and stuff that's played. And we're going to do that next week.
Eat fried food.
We eat a lot of pancakes, other things, and cheese. But it comes in the middle of winter. It comes on the 25th day of the Hebrew month of Kislew. In the middle of winter, when everything is its darkest, that the promise of God is revealed in the darkness. And for us, we know that by many other sources, that or by many other phenomena, that Christ was conceived by the Holy Spirit on this feast, on the Feast of Hanukkah. He was born on the Feast of Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, 9 months later in September. But this Feast of Hanukkah took place when everything looked at its most dismal. For those of you who haven't gone through this, Christ was conceived by the Holy Spirit on the Feast of Hanukkah. He was born on the Feast of Rosh Hashanah 9 months later. He was baptized on the Feast of Yom Kippur. He was changed the water into wine, and he was transfigured on the Feast of Tabernacles. He was crucified on the Feast of Passover. He was buried on the Feast of Unleavened Bread. He rose from the dead on the Feast of First Fruits, and his seed, or the sperma of God, was shed on all flesh on the Feast of Pentecost. So when he said it's finished, he meant it. All necessary things necessary for the kingdom of God were finished. Now we celebrate these feasts here. The Feast of Hanukkah is a feast of the celebration of a promise in the midst of no evidence of the promise. Everything was wrong at the Feast of Hanukkah on the year before the birth of Christ. Everything was wrong for God's people. Nothing was right. They were totally and completely being under the dominion of Rome. They were highly taxed. They couldn't afford to even do anything for themselves. Everything was wrong. And then a light was kindled. And it was kindled in the spirit in a bushel basket. And that's what, when in the Talmud, when they talk about a light being in the bushel basket, they're talking about a child being born. In other words, the light, the life in the womb is called, in the Talmud, that there's light under a bushel basket.
Yeah, because, I mean, especially if she just conceived then, I mean, she could never tell that she was pregnant, you know, there wasn't even any manifestation of life.
So let's read what it says. Let's see, let's read the Magnificat.
The what?
It's called the Magnificat.
Remember all the jokes we made last year?
Is it the Latin?
I had
no idea.
In Luke 1, verse 28. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, and blessed art thou among women. And that's what God is saying to us now, because we are the bride. And God is coming in unto us during these 8 days. And he's saying to us, Hail, thou art highly blessed. The word highly blessed means that you are without, you're no longer subject to the vagaries of fate. You're no longer subject to the accidents of life. That for you, everything in life is a determined thing. And you can't make a mistake. No matter how weird that seems, if you think about it, to be blessed, to be highly blessed, means you can't make a mistake. From the standpoint we talked about earlier with Crystal, you're firmly anchored. You're the most fortunate of all people on the face of the earth. You're highly blessed. Unto you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all things are in parables. That hearing they may hear and not hear, and seeing they may see and not understand, lest at any time he should come upon and forgive them and heal them. Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be.
In other words, she's saying, what the hell?
She's saying, say what? And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Now that same word is saying to you tonight, fear not, for you have found favor with God. How could you have found favor? You know yourselves too well. Right? I don't know about the visitors, they're probably nice. But the rest of us, no. Nah. Fear not. I mean, the idea that I would find favor in the sight of God can only come from one thing. That I've seen that I am nothing. I'm only a vessel. He's the fulfiller of that vessel. Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Now let's keep your hand there and go to Galatians 4. General Electric Power Company, after Corinthians.
Galatians 4.
Galatians 4, verse 19. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. I mean, that's the whole of everything. everything we're about, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And every celebration, the Feast of Hanukkah, every celebration of that feast, it should be a celebration of that birth of Christ in you. Again, there can't be two within you. That's only one. There can't be two. Okay, back to Luke. And he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now that's called that's the revelation that has to come upon you in order for you to be a believer. That you, it's no longer believing in Jesus. It's that you might be lived, you might live by the faith of Jesus as you abandon yourself. You can't do that if you don't believe he's there. If you believe that you are still trying to live by the faith in Christ, then you'll have to worry about whether or not you have faith or not. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you, but every once in a while I think I have faith. But if I had to worry about whether or not I had faith, you know, I'd have to try to work it up like Tilton. And you know, I'd have to exist by soul power to try to create an image, it's just like going to a rock concert. It's like you need the energy in order to be real, in order to have the feeling, you need the energy. It's just another aspect of drugs. That's why for most people their church service is simply an aspect, it's an epinephrine experience, it's a drugged experience. They have to go there to feel, to get worked up so that they can feel something, because they don't know that they have faith. And so your faith becomes really sad. We must be among those who God can say to the world, the flesh, and the devil, take your best shot. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. There's no glory in having faith when things are going well. The glory is faith in tribulation. There's no glory in saying, Praise God, brother, to your brothers. There's only glory in saying, Praise God, brother, and meaning it from the heart when some little old lady in tennis shoes pulls out in front of you on the street. And you don't cuss her out.
That's a big test for me.
It is for me, too. It's right here to beat me for it.
Huh?
How do you spell it?
But you understand, that's why it's so evil to say that gain is godliness. Because then your faith is never tested. The evidence that you think the gospel is wrong or that you believe another gospel is that you think suffering is strange. If you don't suffer with him, you won't reign with him. We have, you know, in the morning Bible study, you know, there's a whole lot of people out who have just come off the streets. I tell them not to trivialize their own suffering by thinking suffering is strange or thinking it's something you're not supposed to have done.
That's behind me now.
The things that you've suffered, the weirdnesses that you've experienced, the wild, terrible terrors of darkness that you've gone through, they're all necessary. They're all from the hand of God to bring you to the point where you can see.
And if you forget that and or lie about it,
than the person who's going through it now, that's the worst thing you can do to someone.
Yeah.
Is say, oh, I never went through that. Or, I don't go through that.
Well, can you imagine what God's going to do to people on Judgment Day that trivialize suffering?
I know there's a prominent thought in just the Baptist Church that Mike and I recently came out of, was that there is the divine will of God and then the permissive will of God, where if it's not a good thing, then he just permitted it, but he didn't cause it to happen.
Well, that's, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
It's called, you know, it's that whole thing that came from Persia, of all places. And it's this duality. The idea that there's a permissive will of God is the evidence that you believe in Satan as a God, I mean, as an equal.
Well, it puts you in the position of judging what's good.
Yeah, what's permissive.
So you can figure out which category.
Yeah, which one is
well, that must be permissive. Well, that must be.
Mm-hmm. Well, in other words, we don't know what's best. God does, right?
We just accept this moment as from the hand of God. We stop judging for ourselves what's good and evil.
I don't hold with the idea that there's people that suffered like I have. I just don't think there has been. You know, I'm kind of blunt, and I've had a lot of hate, a lot of anger inside of me. But I'm getting tired of hating, you know. It tires me out. You know, if somebody looks at me wrong, you know, I don't usually sit and I wonder what that guy's thinking about me. You know, I'll just say, hey man, you got a problem with me, man? You know, just bring it right out. You know.
See, what I used to, I didn't even do that. I just went over and hit him.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I just, you know, I don't know, man.
He's good.
I've lost everybody in my family, and I had some selfish, self-centered motives. And, I don't know, man, it seems like every time my motives aren't right when I go into something, well, I usually pay for it at the end, you know?
Well, but we never really, I've learned that we can't
see,
trust.
I don't like, you know, I like having control over people, you know?
Do you like, how much do you like?
I like having control. I don't like it when people got control.
Do you like having control over yourself?
Well, yeah, but I don't have any.
So what you like is the illusion of control.
Yeah, you know, because if I'm in charge, man, if I'm in control, nobody can, well, I don't know.
Hurt you.
Yeah, nobody can hurt me. See, I was hurt real bad emotionally, and, you know, to be living on the streets and to be in jail with emotional problems and not being able to really control yourself. I mean, I was real vulnerable in jail, you know, and I didn't think any of these guys could whoop me. It was just, it wasn't that, it was just,
the aloneness.
Yeah, you know, I wasn't a praying person or a Bible slammer or nothing, but I'd pray. And I'd ask God, I said, man, look, I don't know what to do. I'm messed up. You know? I don't give a shit about what happens, man. I just want you to help me, man. You know, I'd talk to him like I'd cuss, you know, I was praying. I was just being myself with him. Because I figure I can't fool God. He knows me. You know? And I drink, you know, I drink or drug or whatever because I'm just in a lot of pain. I don't want to feel. It's hard for me to get close to people, you know, so sometimes I'll put up a front or a wall. Then I'll let that wall all the way down, and then people think that I'm weak, you know.
What's your first name?
Jeff.
Jeff?
Yes.
That's a letter to you, okay? Can you listen a minute?
Yeah.
Dear Jeff. I see your loneliness. I see your fears. I see your guilt and frustrations. I see your endless search for love and fulfillment. All this must be in order for you to come to the end of your own understanding. Then you can hear my voice. Listen carefully amid the noise of the world and you will hear. I love you. I shed my blood to make you clean. You are new, so believe it is true. You are lovely in my eyes, and I created you to be exactly as you are. Don't criticize yourself or get down for not being perfect in your own eyes. That leads only to frustration. I want you to trust me one day, one step, one second at a time. Dwell in my power and my love and be free. Be yourself. Don't allow other people to run you. I will guide you if you let me. But take your eyes off of yourself. I lead, I change, I make, but not when you are trying, for I will not fight your efforts. Let me have the joy of making you like Christ. My love is perfect. My will is sufficient. I will supply your every need with no effort on your part. Just take your eyes off yourself. I love you. Signed, your Heavenly Father. That was a letter God gave to me about 20 years ago, so I thought I'd share it with you.
That's beautiful, man.
Can you just rest a minute? Your warfare is over. You don't have to be any different than you are. You don't have to meet anybody's standards. You don't even have to meet your own standards.
I just feel like a loser, man. Low life. I got a lot of time.
Hey, you're
in the right place.
Company.
We're all losers.
Welcome home.
Right place.
Welcome home.
Welcome home. Yeah.
Loser.
Loser Central.
You don't have to do anything or jump through any hoops. Just come here whenever you want to. You don't have to come here if you don't want to. You don't have to meet anybody's standards. There's no rules.
I will. I just want y'all to understand when I back off a little bit, man. It's just, when you see me do that, it's just not being an asshole or nothing, man. It's just that
it's just being an asshole.
So,
Jeff, let me say this. The first rule of life is don't hustle a hustler.
Don't hustle a hustler.
I guess so, man.
There's a great, in Isaiah it says, speak comfortably, speak comfortably. Your warfare is over. In quietness and in confidence you shall be saved. You don't have to. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to jump through loops. You don't have to. He'll will it and do it in you. You just hang out. And don't. And hear me. It's like everything that has happened to you or to me or to any of us had to have taken place exactly as it did. Okay.
You know that deal about you said get off yourself, that's kind of hard to do. Especially when you're real self-centered, man, you know, it's kind of hard to do that.
I know. Is it? Does it take you, when you take a dump, does it take you any effort to walk away from it?
No.
So that's just a matter of seeing self correctly then, isn't it?
Well, I don't want to take up y'all's whole meeting.
No, don't worry.
That's right.
Appreciate y'all.
Psalm 30. This is a reading for every one of the... every time that the Feast of Hanukkah was celebrated, they read Psalm 30. Psalm 30, please.
But do it in a spiritual way.
Oh, shut up, Perry.
no punctuation mark.
I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up.
And now remember, as Christ was being, as the seed of Christ was being placed in Mary, this is the psalm that was being sung by the Levites in the temple. That's what you have to hear. One of the things we've been able to duplicate or see is what was happening in the temple and which psalms were being sung, which things were being read while the various events were taking place. Now, this was the event, the momentous event in all of history. From God's standpoint, there's nothing bigger that could have taken place. And you must see that it's in you that this God of the universe is being born tonight, being birthed, being the seed is being placed. Okay.
I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast made my foes to rejoice.
Has not.
Has not made my foes
to rejoice. It's important not.
Yeah.
He's not that spiritual.
O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit.
No. One of the things that happens, from God's standpoint, there are 8 days of the Feast of Hanukkah, just like there are 8 days of the wedding supper, the Feast of Hanukkah. The 7 days of linear time, and then the 8th day is the day of the resurrection. On the Feast of Hanukkah, we also sing the Hallel, and so we sing the Psalms of Ascent, going up to the Hallel. Psalm 120 to Psalm 134 are the Psalms that they sung while they were going up to Jerusalem. You couldn't sing the Hallel, which was Psalm 113 to 118, except in the temple, in the court. You couldn't sing it unless you had to be there. In other words, if you're not sitting on the mercy seat, and if you think you're out in Timbuktu, then sing the Psalms of Ascent. So that's what we'll do tonight when we get to the big group, to sing the Psalms of Ascent.
Cool! Wow.
That's great.
And then next week, we'll sing the Hallel. Okay?
Sing unto the
wait,
Lord.
Wait.
I asked it later. I was wondering, are we celebrating next Sunday?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a little memo that everybody's going to get Tuesday night. Barbara didn't know about it.
Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment, and his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning.
Man, we got to get that song.
And in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever.
Amen. So what it's saying here is it's like this is the full revelation of the life of Christ being stated by the Levites, sung by the Levites in the temple at the moment of his conception. It's pretty wild. Like you were chosen in him. You were chosen in him from before the foundation of the world. And this is the meaning of faith. We see it's finished when it still doesn't look like it. Not this garbage faith. This faith is a commodity to buy something or get goodies from God. But the faith that sees it's finished, no matter what it looks like. Look around. Look around the big group. It's even worse than this group. Maybe we're talking, this is a mess. Look around this neighborhood. It's a mess. I mean, this is absolutely nothing that I would have wished for. There's nothing that I would have wished for. But it's everything I hoped for. My wishes got screwed up. They were passed through with my idolatry. Zechariah, chapter 2. Okay. You got it? Okay, here's the minor prophet thingy. This is the minor prophet thingy that we would have been better, but our erstwhile elder didn't do his job. Harry, Jim, Amy, Oli, Johnny may never have zucchini, however zombies might. Does that help you any?
No.
Somebody shout.
What'd she say?
978.
Yes, a lot.
I don't think she could write that fast.
I did my homework, but
I overslept.
Zechariah 2.
Oh, that's the other thing about the Hanukkah. We'll study when we do the readings. The Hanukkah, the light, first of all, the light of the Hanukkah candle, this is what has been said in the past. This is by the Hanukkah, about it. It says, "This is the holy fire from the holiest of holies. Jeremiah the prophet took this fire and hid it in order that the enemies who were about to destroy Jerusalem should not take it with them. And God said to the prophet that this fire will appear when God returns." So the fire appeared, the lighting of the eighth day of the Hanukkah light appeared when Christ was conceived of Mary. Yeah. Amen?
Is it a Hanukkah story, or it's Judith, or whatever, that woman that went down and whipped up on those...
That's Judith, that's not...
That's not a Hanukkah story? It is a Hanukkah story?
Burgundy.
Oh, okay.
Judith.
I didn't remember, I wanted to know.
Zechariah 2, verse 10 through chapter 4, verse 7. Okay? So, are there any spiritual guys left here besides Harry?
How many
did you
have to read?
It's religious.
Seven.
Oh, that's spiritual.
Jack, can I read? Can I read? I spiritual.
Philene is spiritual.
By virtue of her most excellent
joke. No,
by virtue of her most excellent slamming of people today.
No, I'm not. Oh, God.
You told a joke that grossed out Jackie and Liz, you cannot tell it in public.
That's right. That's just sick.
So, 2:10.
2:10.
To 4:7. What now?
Just 2:10 for a while.
Okay. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and shall be my people, and I will dwell in the midst of thee. Thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me upon thee, and the Lord shall inherit Judah his portion in the holy land, and shall choose Jerusalem again. Be silent, O all flesh, and before the Lord, for he is raised up out of his holy habitation. And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel.
Okay. Now, Joshua, of course, is the Hebrew word for Jesus. Yeshua. Yeshua HaMashiach. And so this is Jesus standing before God. The word Satan, it's Satan isn't a translation of a word, it's a transliteration. And it's ha-satan. And it's the opposer. And his job is to oppose that which is righteous, to oppose the seed of God, to oppose this sperma of God that is now shed. That's his only job. He doesn't care about all the things that the people care about. He doesn't care about little drives against pornography or little drives against this or that. He cares about trying to destroy that seed, that sperma of God. He destroys that seed in you by causing you to put your eyes on yourself. You understand that? The moment you put your eyes on yourself, that you take your life back into your own hands, you sought to save your life, and he has won for the moment. That's why the first requirement of a disciple is to abandon yourself. Pick up your cross and follow him. He that seeks to save his life shall lose it. That's why the evil of these men, alleged men of God, that are preaching how to get stuff in the name of God, they're preaching how to get goodies in the name of God. So it's pure evil. Okay. You want to read? Tara? Daryl?
Read through, the end of chapter 4, verse 7.
And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with the change of raiment.
Okay, in that moment, Christ had taken upon himself the sin of the entire world. He took upon him every mistake that you have ever made or will make. And he took upon him the sin of the whole world. That's the filthy garment that he was clothed in. And then in that second, the garment was taken. Oh, hear that. Get your eyes off yourself. Don't try to get it right. The moment you try to get it right, the garment is being spotted by the flesh. Do you understand that? Do not fear what they fear. Do not worship what they worship. Do not give importance to what they give importance to. Doesn't matter if you call yourself Christians all day long. As long as you're trying to improve yourself, you're in the enemy camp. Christians, believers, people of the way, joyously abandon themselves to the love of God. They take no thought for their own lives. Oh, but I'm a Christian and I'm over here trying to improve myself for Jesus. No, you're not. You might as well be in the depths of hell. Because you are trying to improve on his sacrifice. Oh, no, I'm not. I'm just trying to be a fruit inspector. You and the rest of the little Pharisees.
That's really
fun. Don't abandon yourself to suicide.
The light is, come on. There's a light in the basket.
That was pretty funny.
That was funny. That was funny.
Let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by. And the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house, and shalt also keep my courts. And I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by.
Now remember, this is being said, and this is being read all over Jerusalem, all over Judah, all over Israel, on the Feast of Hanukkah. Now, Christ, do you understand that? How can I say this? Jesus Christ, when he was 13 years old, didn't know who he was. And as he read these scriptures, slowly but surely it dawned on him who he was. And he remembered the prophecies. Now, all of a sudden, one day he woke up and he said, my God, this is about me. And he looked and he in all the scriptures, he revealed unto them the things concerning himself. Now, our role is to see the riches of the inheritance and the knowledge of him. Now, as we see him, the desired one of the nations, our heart's desire will be satisfied, and with nothing else. Okay.
Hear now, O Joshua the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at.
Hallelujah.
Behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon one stone shall be seven eyes.
Have I ever talked to you about the seven eyes in the stone?
No, you keep saying you're going to.
Every year.
Say the seven eyes and the seven heads.
The seven spirits of God.
As far as you go, every year.
Huh?
Offices in the body.
Okay. And the partridge in a pear tree?
Seven seals.
Okay.
The armor. St. John and the seven trees.
Upon one stone shall be seven eyes. And behold, I shall engrave the graving thereof.
This is for the visitor. Wait a minute. This is for the visitors that he's blaspheming.
See how good he's getting on that?
He's skillful with the word.
You're going to need the full armor of God.
At least the shin guards, if I play golf.
The word is like my head, and a shin guard to my head.
Okay, Daryl, you've totally lost control.
And I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day.
Talking about Harry right there.
Lord, of hosts shall you carry every man his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree.
Hallelujah.
And the angel that talked with me.
Not carry, call every man.
I was wondering. Why
did I say that?
Chapter 4. Yeah.
The angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep. And he said unto me, what seest thou? And I said, I have looked.
Hear me. This is some of the most interesting stuff in the Bible. These next few verses. What seest thou?
I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof. And two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord?
Go ahead.
I thought it was 3 or 4. Oh, 7. 4 or 7. I get those mixed up. Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by thy spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain. He shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it.
Okay. We'll find out what that means Tuesday. No, it's time. We got 2 minutes to get to the big group.
Yeah.
Take it, big guy.